third session today with the singing of hymn 90 to the third tune. Hymn 90 to the third tune. Father, we thy children bless thee for thy love on us bestowed. As our Father we address thee, called to be the sons of God. Hymn 90. Study day on ecclesial eldership, taking heed to all the flock, with our brother Harry Tennant of the Watford, England Ecclesia. Saturday, August 22nd, 1987. The third session is entitled The Work of the Arranging Brethren. Brother Tennant.
Point, my dear brethren, arising out of the second talk. I had assumed, and wrongly, that in fact most ecclesias over here would have a Bible class program. Now, I gather that that's not common, that in some places you have a Bible class program, and in other cases you don't know what's going to be spoken on next week, because that's the way you run the Bible class. We have a Bible class program. In fact, we have a little committee that compiles that, and it's approved or amended by the arranging brethren. Now, the reason for that is, first of all, the ecclesia can make suggestions as to what it would like to hear discussed in the Bible class. Secondly, you can get a systematic working out of what a program is going to be like for 6 months. Thirdly, you can make sure that you cover the whole spread in time. They have character studies, exposition, Old Testament, New Testament. Have a look at our community. Have a look at difficult areas. Look at life. And consequently, we draw up a program for a year. We have a Bible class secretary whose job it is just to see that the Bible class is properly run. Our Bible class secretary is exemplary. He's there first on the Bible class evening, makes sure everything is ready and prepared. He makes sure that, in fact, the presiding brother who's supposed to be there is there. He's ready with the speaker. He's ready with any announcement that should be fed to the presiding brother. In other words, that there is nothing that is left to chance or to surprise. After all, we should go to a Bible class knowing what the subject is so that we can think about it before we go. So that when it comes to the discussion period, we can make sensible contributions. Not ride our own hobby horse around, but just make sensible contributions. So consequently, that's how we run ours, and we found it highly successful to do that. And you can look back over the Bible class program to see what areas you have covered in a period of time. I'd commend that to you if you don't do that. I think the idea that our Bible class is going to be on the daily readings has something to commend it if everybody prepares. But if everybody just turns up not having done the daily readings for the day before and then expects to start from cold, it's going to be a very desultory Bible class. Arranging brethren should be prepared for Bible class night. They should know what the subject is. They should have done their own thinking about it, because it may well be that some younger brother there asks a question. What does this verse mean then? And we should be prepared to answer that question in some way. We should seek to avoid such divisions of opinion in Bible class as center on two people as personalities. Because what happens then is, it's not really the subject that's being discussed, it really is these two people having a go at each other. And really, that isn't profitable to anybody. Arranging brethren can provide in the discussion period such additional helpful material as they have found useful in their own lives and would have been useful that night had we'd had more time, for example, and give pointers as to books to read. I could add at this stage that it is useful for the arranging brethren to be responsible for the provision of books for the ecclesia, not pamphlets now, the range of books that are available. So that when you prepare a Bible class program, you are able to say, in fact, there are the following books that cover our Bible class program for this year, and list them. And then the brother who looks after the books can take orders for them. Now, that is extremely useful. Because younger brethren need to know where to go to get their material together. And it isn't just sufficient to say, well, go to your Bible, because nobody goes just to his Bible. He has a systematic way of going to his Bible, or at least he should. And we can be of help to our younger members. So in the duties, then, of us as arranging brethren, and by this time you will already feel that you know a great deal about what the range of responsibility is. Let me start at an early stage then. concerning the election of arranging brethren. Now, you might like to come to the Epistle to Titus. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Remember, Paul is writing to Titus, who is in the island of Crete in the Mediterranean. He's not in touch with the mainland. He's not near to Jerusalem. He's not near to the ecclesias that lie in Asia Minor or in Greece. He's out in the sea in an island where ecclesias are being established. And it says in verse 5, Paul speaking, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee, as I gave thee charge. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." That refers to the children, I think. In fact, the Revised Version would say, "having children that believe, who are not accused of riot or unruly." For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not a brawler, a man who drinks wine and then loses control. No striker, not given to filthy lucre, not greedy of money. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Sober-minded. That's got nothing to do with drink. That's got to be with having a mind that considers serious things, and that they are the governing motives of the mind. Just, holy, temperate, holding fast the word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now there's a job description, and also a description of the man to fill it. Tells us what it's like. Now these are the brethren that we should be appointing. I know if we're in an ecclesia of 15, then we're going to be arranging brethren willy-nilly. Well, that's true. But where we have a choice, then these are the principles. And they're not difficult principles in the sense that they are, they're not academic principles, have you noticed that? They're not principles that say he must hold a good position in daily life. It doesn't say he's got to be rich. It tells us what his character is like and how he's got on in ruling his own house. That part is a bit difficult. I think that part is one that some arranging brethren would find difficult. But I don't think it means that our children, you know, have got to be absolute models, paragons of virtue, because there aren't any such children any more than there are adults. I think it's telling us, if he rules his house so that the whole place is in a constant turmoil, and his children treat him with disrespect, and his wife with disrespect, and break up the home life in some way, then if he can't control that situation on home ground, how is he going to control a situation in the ecclesia? Just come to the first letter of Paul to Timothy. And chapter 3. This is a true saying, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So there's a similar description to Titus. In a way, they are descriptions of qualities that make all of us feel inadequate. These are the ideals. And when we are appointing, arranging brethren in our ecclesias, then we should have these things in mind, these qualities in mind, as against, for example, well, his vice president in his company, he's got 500 men that he's looking after, he's obviously done very well, the company's very prosperous, he ought to be able then to look after the ecclesia. And that is no guide at all. If he doesn't turn up at the ecclesia, if he's not 100% supportive of the ecclesia, if he's not as well immersed in things that have to do with the spirit as he is in the things that have got to do with his company, he may be a menace in the ecclesia rather than of benefit to it. A brother who happens to be that and at the same time to be these things can be of service because he's now putting his talents to good use. And what I would say to us as arranging brethren is this. Many of us have got talents that we're using like anything in the world around us. Especially in the kind of capitalist society of North America that's, you know, go, go, go all the time and make sure that you're getting on doing this. Thrust, 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 got all its ways of training and managing people to do precisely that. Then we have no excuse if knowing that these things succeed, that we are not applying ourselves with equal diligence to ecclesial life. Here goes then on requirements, I think, stemming out of these things that we've seen in Timothy and in Titus, requirements for being a good arranging brother. We must know the truth. And by that, I don't simply mean that we have got the first principles at our fingertips. We must be acquainted with those first principles in Scripture as a whole. We should be people who are regularly doing our daily readings. Regularly doing our daily readings. Nobody's 100% perfect in this field and in any other. But we know, you know, I know whether I am being negligent in this area. If I'm being negligent, make a resolve. Now, let me make a resolve at this meeting that I'm not going to be negligent. And it's no use saying I haven't got the time to do this or that. Everybody has the time to do what he wants to do. Everybody. And therefore, let's make sure that we are going to read our Bible daily. And the daily reading plan that we have is an ideal method of becoming acquainted with Scripture. Be so acquainted with our foundation doctrines that you are a bulwark against that which is wrong from outside. Don't assume that the average brother and sister knows how to deal with these things. How to deal with a Jehovah's Witness that says blood transfusion is against Bible teaching. Which is what they say, which can disturb some of our brethren. Interestingly enough, people these days may be against blood transfusion for an entirely different reason and want to take very particular care about themselves. But some of us have got to be acquainted with how to counter that which is wrong as well as to preach that which is right. And the way to do that is to be constantly reading. And there are good, sound books which we can read. Books that I find always of great help. And so on my desk, I've got Help Us Israel. On my desk, I've got Christendom Astray. And I constantly refer to them. I just don't have them there as a kind of monumental display. They are there for me to use. It just so happens that I've got all the Christadelphians right from the first ones issued until the present time. I would say that just before I came away, I was referring to those 40 times a week. That is the Christadelphians, quite apart from the other things. Because most of the problems that we have to deal with have already been dealt with. If you're able to get hold of sets of old Christadelphians, just read them. You will find that all the problems have been dealt with at some time or another. Marriage problems, problems in ecclesias, they've all been dealt with. And what is more, the principles are laid down. And a ranging brother should have a reasonable library of books that he is acquainted with, that if he doesn't know the answer to a question, he knows where to find it. And that he's ready to provide that information. So we should read, all of us, and pray. And by this means, you know, I found, just for my own personal benefit, that having to do work for the ecclesia is the best way to become equipped. If you have to do it and you decide you're going to do the job properly, then you set about it, you break it down, you draw all the aids together, you have a look, as I looked at you before I arrived, I expected that there would be somewhere around 70 plus of us, and that we'd be from different places, some small places, some 3 hours away, some 5 hours away from here, some local, and that we would arrive here, all of us, with a series of different questions. You will discover that from today, one of the best things that has happened to you is meeting all the other arranging brethren. Indeed, that may be, for some of you, the very best thing that happens today. That you speak to Brother so-and-so and say, we've been dealing with a problem in our meeting, you know. He says, well, we had that 2 years ago. Well, how do you deal with it then? And right away, there's an exchange. Now, this is one of the finest ways, really, of sharpening our own fellowship and at the same time of being of assistance to one another. Because no arranging board is just self-contained. It is true that every ecclesia is autonomous. It looks after itself. But it looks after itself within the orbit of being a Christadelphian ecclesia, of which there are many other such units. And we have a relationship with them. We can benefit from them and they from us. And by our interchange of news, so we're able to strengthen each other, anticipate problems, eliminate them when they arise. Read. If you don't take... It sounds really as though I'm just sort of pressing people to buy books or read particular magazines. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is, read the intelligence from all the ecclesias in the world in the Christadelphian. Read the intelligence, because that's how an arranging brother gets to know what other arranging brethren are doing in other parts of the world. That which makes other ecclesias tick. What is it that keeps them going? What makes these people lively? Why is it that they always seem to be having baptisms? And if you want to know, drop them a line. Write to them. And say, I've been very interested in the news that you put in the magazine during the last 18 months. It seems to me you've had about 10 baptisms. We haven't been doing very well in our ecclesia. Have you got some special way in which you're preaching the truth? So, intelligence in the magazine is part of our information. The articles in the Christadelphian are frequently based on actual problems that the editor becomes aware of in some part of the world or other, and he's trying to meet it by an article. He won't name the place, and he won't pinpoint a person, but he will deal with the problem. Read the editorial particularly. That's always revolving around an actual problem. So one becomes aware and can anticipate what might go wrong in our own locality. So really, in order to be equipped for an arranging brother, we have these matters of character, and then we have the practical matters, which are that I must be aware of the Word of God, and I must reverence it. I mustn't just use it as a tool. It's something that moves me to prayer. That when other people come to our home, we have the daily readings together, and it's a standard practice. I have children and we read our Bible together. That should be my motto. That I have children and we close the day in prayer. So that there is a pattern within the home. And so that our wife doesn't say, oh, well, he seems a pretty strong person as an arranging brother, but he's pretty poor as a husband. That ought never to be the case. And none of us either should give an address that we're afraid to give in our own ecclesia, or afraid to discuss with one's own wife because it doesn't ring true. And she turns and says, Jack, there's no point in saying that. We're not doing it. When an arranging brother has a great responsibility in his own family because he becomes an example, and that people look and take us as an example. And in our family life, whether or not we want it, our wife is married to an arranging brother. And consequently, she feels a responsibility. She knows that we have extra work that comes on us and extra anxieties and cares as well as joys. And consequently, she wants to support us. And she can do that if she knows. And she understands. Not that I think we should, and this is a bad country to say this in, I have never met a country, it probably stems from the CIA, I don't know, but I have never met a country where it's impossible to keep anything confidential. I have never met it before. Everybody takes it for granted. You know, you say, you'll keep this confidential, you know, and right away, somebody blabs it around. Now, you can't do that with things that matter, you know. Quite frequently, people ring up to our house and they say, who it is? And Sister Bernice answers and said, oh, yes. Sorry, he's not in at the moment. And then the voice at the other end says, well, he'll have told you about me, won't he? And my wife says, no, he hasn't told me about you. And I don't say things that are harmful to people or are so confidential that only I should know them. My wife and I share most things, but there are things that I just would not say. Because I wouldn't want to pass on anything that was detrimental to somebody else, unless I was forced into that position. So confidentiality inspires other people then to talk. I mean, I had people on this trip this time saying, ah, I spoke to you 4 or 5 years ago. I have dismissed that from my mind of 4 or 5 years ago. So that they think that I'm remembering what they said, which is a very personal thing about themselves. I've set that on a shelf. As soon as they remind me, then it would come back. But you learn how to be confidential. That's what arranging brethren should be. And they should not, as they go around, they should not be talking about other people. They should not be busybodies, tittle-tattling in the ecclesia. They should be doing that which is to the benefit and strength of the ecclesia. I have a motto in my married life, which I also use in the ecclesial life. Is what you are going to say going to improve this situation or not? And if it's not, don't say it. And I do that in relationships with my wife, family. You know, there are times in your own domestic scene, you want to say something, don't you? You know, oh, well, you're always doing that. Has that helped? Don't say it. There's no point in saying it. Say something constructive. And the great thing about saying something constructive is that you'll get a constructive reply. And it's just the same in the ecclesia. If we're arranging brethren in the ecclesia, we say nothing derogatory about our ecclesia. We don't go undermining it so that people say, oh, well, he hasn't got much confidence in us, has he? Instead of which, we've got to inspire. That's our job, to inspire, to support. And we do that by a thoroughgoing instruction of ourselves, and guidance of our brethren and sisters. Now let's just think about the Ecclesia as a whole and our appointment as an arranging brother. It has occurred to me during these talks, and this stems from work that Paul has done and his associates in this matter of the binder. It occurs to me that it would be very useful in an ecclesia when there is a new arranging brother to give him reading material. In other words, to have something that helps to fill out in his mind what it is that he's now expected to do. And when I go back, as a matter of fact, I'm going to think that over, because I think it's something that never crossed my mind before, and I've never used it, and we've never used it in our ecclesia, but it seems to me a very common sense thing to do. You can do it by two or three methods. The recording brother can talk to the new arranging brother, or a couple of arranging brethren can talk, one of the older ones to the new one, saying, this is the nature of things, this is our ecclesia, and filling in, filling out, as you say here, so that in fact the brother then feels some confidence, and he's got something to go to in order to solve problems. The next thing is, I suppose each of us, and I'm sure we do, each of us has an address role for our ecclesia. Now, that happens to be a useful list of addresses and telephone numbers. It is also a list of names. And on this occasion, as on every other, I go through our own ecclesial list in my mind whilst I'm here, and I pray for the individual members of the ecclesia. I pull them out in my mind, so that I've covered the whole range whilst I've been here. As far as I know, that's what I've done. Now, that's fine. And I learned that from something quite different. That in my job, well, I had a lot of people to remember, but I had probably 80 people that I should be able to recall at once. And of the 80 people that I recalled at once, well, if you're in Wilbraham at a Bible school, you don't recall any of them. What I used to do was just to sit down for 2 or 3 minutes and go through all the 80 in my mind, so that they were always there. And I thought, well, Harry, if you're doing that in your ordinary daily job, you ought to be doing that with the ecclesia. And so I do it, and I go through them, so that I think of everybody. And if you start in your own personal prayers recalling the people of the ecclesia, you will discover that your prayers will have a new character altogether. You start praying for the things which you discuss in the arranging brethren's meeting. You'll be anticipating, you'll be saying, now that's an interesting matter. She wasn't there. And you'd probably say to your wife, give her a ring, will you? I had a sister who came to me revealing something extremely, didn't do it to me personally, she did it to Sister Bernice and me, because I don't believe in just having meetings directly, personally, in private, with sisters. I think one should be a little more discreet. But she had something extremely personal to say, extremely personal to say, which she wanted to unburden herself of, and she did. And then we gave what help we could. And then I said, and when I meet you in the ecclesia, I shall simply say from time to time, how are you, Frieda? I said, now I shall look you in the eye, and you will know what I mean by that. It is what you want me to do, it's a check-up. And Sister Bernice rings her up, from time to time, just rings her up. Because it was one of those problems where temptation overcomes flesh, and people need a hand, and the husband not in the truth. And so it is that by being compassionate and totally confidential, there is not a soul in the ecclesia knows anything about it. None of the other arranging brethren either. But it is so entirely personal that it's not divulged. But as an arranging brother, you're then able to help. What is more, when you look at the Bible class program or look at exhortations, you're able to say, this is what people need. And so it's a complete survey of the ecclesia that I find probably the most helpful thing in having a look at my duties and as an arranging brother. What do you regard then, if you were appointed, you who were appointed recently as an arranging brother, what did you expect when you were appointed? And what have you found that is different? Because I'm quite sure that what happens is we expect when we go in, being an arranging brother, saying, well, we'll have these responsibilities, and we go through them and we name them, and most of them are purely the ordinary mechanics of ecclesial life. It's about time the meeting room was decorated, isn't it? Want a fresh coat of paint, you know, and they think, oh, well, that's the arranging brethren's job. And maybe when we come in as an arranging brother, we regard ourselves as kind of housekeepers, that just things are done that are just decent externally. Then we discover when we're an arranging brother that that's way down the list. It hardly concerns us at all. That what we are now learning is that it's brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, it's these children that we've got to discuss. In other words, most of our concern is really about people and not about things. It's about people and not about things. If we know the people, we can help them. If we don't know them, we are likely to make mistakes. That is why I am sure when it says, given to hospitality, it is not a question just of having people in our home or providing them with some special meal, though we may do that from time to time. It is getting to know our ecclesia, having the brethren and sisters in our house so that we can talk to them, that we do the readings together, we learn to hear what they say, we see where help is needed or where they're able to give help when you never expected it. You suddenly discover that here is somebody who is witnessing in a way that you've never witnessed yourself personally, and they're telling you how they do it. We have a young brother in our ecclesia. He is not the brother that you would say, well, if he gives a Bible class address, we shall get absolutely first class, polished, first principles all dealt with if it's a first principle subject. He is not that kind of brother. I'm not even sure that he is capable of being that kind of brother. But we have two people in the ecclesia who are superb members of the ecclesia, both of whom he brought into the truth. He was a witness. I had to ask him how he witnessed. And it was very interesting as to what he said his method was and how he did it. And he hadn't got any embarrassment in speaking to people. And neither of these people was, in fact, there are three baptisms stemming from his work. And they are excellent, excellent converts. As converts, they are probably better than he is in his own grounding. That may do him some disservice, but you will understand what I mean. Sometimes you have a convert who comes in who's so well grounded, you know, that you're astonished at how well they're able to present the truth. Well, that's what we've got, these three people. And they're enthusiastic, which is great. So by having people in your home, you learn. That's one of the reasons, I suppose, why I have our Monday night class, which has gone on for almost 20 years now, I suppose, in our own house. So getting to know the people. So now we've got getting to know the ecclesia as a unit, getting to know the members of the ecclesia, getting to know Bible teaching so that we are ready now ourselves to be able to defend the truth and to present the truth. And the next thing is the running of the ecclesia, the actual running of the ecclesia. For example, we have come here today, and some of us from long distances, which means to say we have done nothing to contribute to the organisation of this meeting. Now, it's very clear that a lot of thought has gone into that organisation. For example, the lunch arrangements downstairs, there was a lot of thought went into that. None of us went short. All of us were served without fuss, without bother. We all had sufficient of what we wanted to eat, and we were able to come up and resume our meeting. And the meeting itself is being conducted properly. The platform is arranged. The recording is all being done and cared for. We're all here. A pianist has been provided. And the whole thing is being run because somebody has actually thought the thing through from beginning to end. And a lot of work has gone into that. The next session, which is probably going to be the most interesting session, the workshop session, which is in fact pretending that we're in the ecclesia and these are particular problems that, to which we've got to address ourselves almost from cold. And you've arrived here to do that. Now, I think all our ecclesial arrangements should be of that kind. And if there is anything slipshod in your ecclesia, get it put right. Make sure it is put right, one by example. When we're at home, we arrive at the meeting about 30 minutes before the meeting is due to start on Sunday mornings. Now that gives you time yourself to settle in, time to greet other brethren and sisters, time to meet any kind of emergency that might arise, and what is more, for the last 5 or 10 minutes, you can sit down and you can think in readiness for what's going on. If you're presiding, then you should be there in good time, so that all the hymns are on the hymn board, the hymn book Bible is open at the readings that are going to be read for that day, that everything on the platform is right, that you've checked that there is in fact bread and wine, and the collection bags are there, and who is around, and what announcements have got to be made, and is there something particular that all the ecclesia should know before we have our first prayer, so that everything is held in a right way. Now that can only be done by proper organisation. And it is organisation that is not obtrusive. We've had nothing obtrusive today. We haven't been hounded, disciplined at all. Nobody's saying, this is the way to go, down there, now, do it. You know, we've been told and we have submitted to the organisation. Now in an ecclesia, that should be evident. You know the ecclesias where you go and you see that the presiding brother is in fact choosing the hymns whilst he's in the meeting room. Or he's arrived and said, oh, my turn, is it? You know? Well, if that's what he thinks, he shouldn't go up. Because he's totally unprepared. He hasn't thought his prayer out, has he? Hasn't meditated on any prayer, any reading. He hasn't spoken to the brother who's giving the exhortation and said to him, what's the general theme then of your exhortation? Because if there's a hymn that you'd like, let me know. We don't change our readings like you do over here. We don't ask the exhorting brother, would he like a reading? The readings are the readings for the day out of the Bible Companion. And you wouldn't go to a meeting in Britain where you would find that it was switched because the exhorting brother had got some theme he wanted to speak on. We stick to the daily readings because that's what happens every day. And so that means we're doing what everybody else is doing throughout the world that day. And there's an act of fellowship in that. And in commenting, I just say this, we use the authorized version when we are, in fact, at our breaking of bread. We will allow the use of another version, should the speaker want it, when he is witnessing in preaching the gospel. But generally speaking, we use the authorized version. So that's our general practice in the ecclesia. You've got to decide that, what you're going to have. And I don't think we should just leave it to people to decide off the cuff. The arranging brethren should go through everything from time to time. So our responsibilities are excellent responsibilities, really. This awareness of the ecclesia, it's smooth running, it's comfort. As Brother Robert said, if there is anything that disturbs the comfort of the ecclesia, then we've got to deal with it. And by comfort, he didn't mean that we got comfortable chairs to sit in. He was talking about that which makes you feel uneasy. I'm not sure what he's going to say, you know, when he gets up. But if we're not sure what he's going to say when he gets up, who got him to be where he is? Why should he be there? Because if he's going to make people feel uncomfortable, in the sense of feeling he might say something that is wrong, then he shouldn't be where he is. Our appointment should be very carefully looked at. ...40% of the Sunday duties to be done by a speaker from elsewhere. And so in our own ecclesia we have 6-8 of us who go and speak in other ecclesias from time to time. Now, when that happens, You've got these people who are coming to your ecclesia. You've got to keep your eye on the kind of people who are invited to speak in your ecclesia. And so we review all those from time to time. We go through all the names. And we say, well, last time might have been an off day, but really it wasn't the best kind of thing for the ecclesia. And then some brother says, yes, but it was the same the time before, you remember. And so we decide that that person is not on our list. And so one seeks to have the best service for the ecclesia. That doesn't mean best speakers in the sense of those who have a gift for talking, not at all. Those who are able to provide meat in season. Just finally, because this is what you're going to do next. It seems to be one of the unfortunate things of life that the arranging brethren's duties are really how do we solve this problem. That's what happens to many of us. In fact, I would suppose every ecclesian who were to go around and say, have you got a problem? But the answer would be, yes, we have a problem that we're looking at. Might I just suggest one thing, however, and that is to count your blessings. We may have problems, brethren and sisters, but our joys outnumber them 1,000-fold. The joy of being in the truth. There is no other community that has a fellowship like us. There isn't one. And if we hear people saying, the Baptists, they do pretty well. Just look at them across the road. They get 300 or 400 there on Sunday. They've got a great fellowship. We have not got to go down that road. One, because it may seem to be true externally. It is not true. It is not true, brethren, in the sense of fellowship in which we enjoy it. It just is not true. Not only in the doctrines they teach, but in the fellowship they enjoy. They don't have a worldwide fellowship. Everything that they have revolves around, probably around one speaker in their place who's setting the place alight. And they all do what he says. And that's not fellowship in the sense in which we ourselves enjoy it. We've got to be supportive of the truth, of the truth, what we believe. I'm not saying, these other people, you know, they're pretty well like we are, and I've spoken to these Methodists, and they seem to be pretty decent people, and so on. In no time, you discover that you have completely undermined the truth. There's no reason why we should be a separate community. In dealing with problems, which is what I shall deal with on the next occasion, and you are going to actually do that now, learn to stand back from the problem. Just learn to stand back from it. You know, problems, they come like this, and when you look at them, they're so big. Just push it away and have a look at it. Have a look at it in the context of the ecclesia as a whole, of Scripture as a whole. Have a look at it in the sense of this sheep is going to be lost if we are not careful. We want to save it. Restore such a one. So if you set your objective as being to restore in righteousness and by compassion, you'll find that it gives a slant to what you're doing. See, there's always a danger, a grave danger, to say, well, that's an error, we've got to get rid of it. And the only way to get rid of that, it's like cancer, you've got to cut it out. Well, that's okay. But nobody goes to the doctor like that, do they? And say, look, I've got a cancer, cut it out. Do they? Do you think you've got to operate, doctor? Is that the only... Don't we? That's how we behave about ourselves. And so it is about other people. These are living people. And we have in some way to seek to maintain them and to keep them. So when you address yourself to these problems, brethren, address yourself positively, compassionately to the problem. Remember that you should address yourself prayerfully to the problem. You're dealing about theoretical problems, so you can't pray in that sense about a theoretical problem. But you might in your group want to pray before you start solving the problem for a blessing that you might look at it in a true sense, in a true way, in a true pastoral way, and arrive at the principles by which you're going to solve these problems. Now, if you fall out amongst yourselves when you're doing it, there's something wrong. You know, you may find that the two of you got views that are diametrically opposed in the group. Oh, you're not going to let go for anything. Now, just remember that we're addressing a theoretical problem. Now, let's just have a look how to arrive at a solution that binds us together and would help the ecclesia. And you can do this at the same time as maintaining the truth. None of us wants to dilute the truth or throw the truth away. There is a how we deal with things as well as what we are doing. And the what and the how are partners, they are twins. I spoke to somebody the other day who really felt that the what was the thing. You can't be compassionate to people unless you've dealt with the first part. To which I replied, that's not right. My compassion for him is part of the truth. It is part of it. And I don't go about him saying, right, I'm going to get you right first and then I'll be compassionate. You knock him down and then say, right, I'll take you to the doctors now. We don't do that. So have a look at the problems that you've got. And whoever thought them up has done a good job. And I know what you're hoping is that you're not going to get question number whatever it is that you think's too hard. Well, if you get it, then get down to it. Because you'll discover that in the next hour and a half or thereabouts, 2 hours by the time we get back to our work nearly, you'll discover that in that time, that this workshop session, combined with what we've had already, is the best thing that's happened to you.